fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. Join us now for the Bible Institute of the Air. Welcome to another broadcast of the Bible Institute of the Air, coming to you from Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. Today we present another in our continuing series of studies from the book of Proverbs. Our teacher today is Mr. Jesse Boyd, who until the time he went to be with his Lord, served as a member of the Bible faculty at Bob Jones University.
Turn, please, to Proverbs chapter 11, and today we're going to consider the Proverbs that are contained in verses 14 to 21. Proverbs chapter 11, verses 14 to 21. We're in the central section of the book of Proverbs, begins with chapter 10 and verse 1, and concludes with chapter 22 and verse 16. And this is a collection of Proverbs in the accepted sense of the term, such as pithy sayings, which express wise rules of conduct, warnings, lessons drawn from experience, and moral reflections. These Proverbs of Solomon are for the most part unconnected sentences without systematic order or logical sequence. However, they are remarkable for profound thought and acute observation expressed in an antithetical or illustrative form, the whole comprising a divine system of morals of universal application. These are a treasury of wisdom in all its diversified details, personal, domestic, social, and civil. Now there are five proverbs in the verses that we're going to consider today. The first is a proverb which regards counsel, verse 14. Where no counsel is, the people fall, but in the multitude of counselors there is safety. Where no counsel is. The word translated counsel here is in the plural, and it is translated from a word which has reference to direction or guidance, and it involves wise guidance. And so this simply means in the absence of sufficient and wise guidance, the people fall, that is, the people stumble along the way of life. Their whole life crumbles beneath them. And so there's need for sufficient and abundant wise counsel. But the antithesis of this is true, where we read in the latter part of this verse, in the multitude of counselors there is safety. Now, that means where there are sufficient and sensible counselors available to people along the way of life, and they avail themselves of the opportunity of their counsel, then they discover salvation or safety or security or deliverance from the pitfalls of life. That's an interesting thing. In chapter 24 and verse 6, we read this same type proverb, which tells us in the multitude of counselors there is safety, and it's in connection with the fighting of a war, and it means that when we're engaged in combat, where there is an abundance and sufficient supply of wise counselors to give proper intelligence and direction to the battle, then there is victory. So if a person wants real victory in life, if he doesn't want to fall victim of the pitfalls of life, he needs to take wise counsel, the counsel from those who know how to give him direction in life from the Word of God. So here is a proverb then regarding counsel. In verse 15, we have a proverb regarding suretyship. We've already faced this one back in chapter 6 and verse 1. But it says here, "He that is surety for a stranger shall smart for it, and he that hateth suretyship is sure." Now, to be a surety for a stranger means to agree to stand good for the debts of a person whose character and integrity is unknown to you. That's a stranger, and a person who becomes surety for another stands as the guarantor for the payment off of debts or loans. And it says the person who is surety for a stranger, for a person he doesn't know the character integrity of a man, is surely going to smart for it or suffer harm because that person may fail to retire his debts, and therefore the one who becomes surety has to guarantee it, and then he will certainly suffer harm to his own household and to his own possessions as he has to pay the debts of the person for whom he has become surety. But the converse says in verse 15b, he that hateth suretyship is sure. That is, the person who refuses to strike hands in surety for a stranger, he will certainly not be faced with the possibility of suffering harm as the guarantor for one's debts. Now, we have one who became our surety, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And he became a surety for us while we were strangers. Yes, we were in sin. We were not only unable to meet our obligations to God, but we had no integrity about us at all. The Word of God tells us we were ungodly. And he became our surety. He smarted for it because it cost him all he had. But he did so anyhow in order that we might be delivered from the awful bondage of sin, and the debt that we owed because of our sin could be perfectly canceled, completely removed, and we might have a proper relationship with God. So verse 15 speaks of a proverb that regards surety. Verse 16, a proverb regarding womanhood. A gracious woman retaineth honor, and strong men retain riches. A gracious woman, a woman who is one that manifests grace in her life, refinement. This is a woman who is known not by her outward beauty, but by her inward ornaments of meekness and quietness, of good behavior, of chaste character. This kind of woman, it says, shall retain honor. Honor in the midst of a day of corruption. Honor in the midst of a day when women sell themselves into sin and bring dishonor and disgrace upon not only themselves, but upon the name they bear. Now, a gracious woman shall retain honor. But in contrast, it says that a strong man or strong men retain riches. So the contrast in this verse is between the quiet victories of a beautiful character, which consist in general honor and approval, and the rude victories of a brute force, which at best only consists in getting and holding to material possessions. So a gracious woman, a woman who is refined and of good taste and who manifests grace in her life, retains honor in the midst of a corrupt generation, whereas strong men who simply go out and secure their wealth by intrigue or by just brute force, all they have to show for their lives is the retainment of wealth. Then in verse 17, we have a proverb regarding loyalty. The merciful man doeth good to his own soul, but he that is cruel troubleth his own flesh. The words translated merciful man, literally a gentleman of loyalty. This word translated mercy is often used in the Old Testament and rendered mercy. It has to do with loyal love. It has to do with a loyalty to covenant vows. And this means a gentleman who is faithful to fulfill his covenant vows does good to his own soul. He not only does good to those to whom he has entered in agreement, but he does good to himself. He brings a good name to himself, and he brings the satisfaction of loyalty to himself, and He brings honor to himself. And then it says, but the cruel troubleth his own flesh. That is, the person who does not fulfill his covenant vows, the person who acts wickedly and who does not perform that which he agrees to. Not only does that person trouble others, but he troubles himself. He brings dishonor and disgrace and ultimate judgment to himself for not being faithful in his relationships. And then in verses 18 to 21, there are several verses that constitute a proverb concerning certainties, realities, facts in life. For example, in verse 18, the wicked worketh a deceitful work, or he earneth wages of falsehood. He gets them under false pretenses, and they offer false security. And they're just like the wind, if you please. And so we go on to read in verse 18b, to him that soweth righteousness is a sure reward. In other words, there is the reward of righteousness. So whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Verse 19, as righteousness tendeth to life, so he that pursueth evil pursueth it to his own death. The person who follows after the pathway of righteousness is the one who steadfastly pursues a right way of living, and this says he will enjoy long life. But the person who pursues an evil course in life will ultimately face, and perhaps face an early death because of his wickedness that's come upon him. Verse 20, they that are of a froward heart are an abomination to the Lord, but such as are upright in their way are his delight. The froward has reference to perverse or corrupt. And the person who is corrupt in his heart, the person who is defiantly rebellious in his heart, that seat of his emotions and his affections and volition is an abomination, is abhorrent, is loathsome, is contemptible unto the Lord. But the person who is upright in his way, who follows the way God appointed for him with wholeheartedness, that person is the Lord's delight. And then in verse 21, though hand join in hand, the wicked shall not be unpunished, but the seed of the righteous shall be delivered. Now those who are defiantly in rebellion against Almighty God may join hand in hand with others, and there may be organized and corporate disobedience against Almighty God, but the fact is they will not go unpunished. However, the seed of the righteous shall be delivered, that is, the offspring of the righteous shall be delivered from the punishment that comes to the wicked. So we've looked at several proverbs today. I trust that the Holy Spirit will take these words, drive them home to our heart, and enable us to act according to the teaching of this portion of the Word of God.
You've been listening to another lesson in our continuing studies from the book of Proverbs on the Bible Institute of the Air. Today's study was by Mr. Jesse Boyd, who served as a member of the Bible faculty of Bob Jones University. We trust that the timeless truths taught in these studies, recorded by Mr. Boyd during his earthly ministry, will help you in your daily walk with the Lord. Join us again next time for more helpful studies on the Bible Institute of the Air. This program is a production of Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina.